You know better than that. Anybody ever tell you that? You know better than that? Have you heard that? My mother used to say that to me when I was bad. or when I just hadn't done something that I was supposed to do. You know better than that. And she was right. Most of the time, I did know better. I just hadn't done better. Yeah. And it was a reminder, you know that, was a reminder that I wasn't living up to her expectations, but also that I wasn't internalizing what she was trying to teach me, which was how to live up to my own, how to be my own moral guide, how to be responsible for myself. And she was trying to teach me that painstakingly and sometimes painfully to grow up. To grow up. Ultimately, I think that is what Jesus is saying in today's text. What he is trying to teach his disciples and those gathered around him in this reading from Luke. Grow up. You know better. We get caught up in that first part of our text, the part about division, father against son, son against father, all that division. And it sounds so harsh. We think of Jesus bringing unity and peace. But here he says, I have come to bring fire to the earth. And then, do you think that I have come to bring peace? No. But rather, division. Oh, hear that loud. It sounds like a curse, almost. Is division what Jesus came to bring? We don't need that. We have it ourselves. We got plenty. We got plenty. You know, the inability to come together, to find common ground, even to have civil dialogue or discourse. We got enough of that. We are polarized. We hear it on the news. We see it around us. We suffer it in our own families. We know about division. Is this a curse? Or is it a statement of fact? Is it a recognition that in a broken world, disagreement and division happen, even in relationships that should be closest? Father, son, mother, daughter. Is this statement half anger, half frustration, and maybe actually lament, a lament? That division is not a fiery punishment from God, but like sin itself, inevitable. A sad truth about humanity. A sad truth about our flawed humanity. We know better than that. We know better. As strong as the language is in this part of this text about division, as much as we hone in on that, Jesus saves his strongest language for the second part, the end of this little text, right after he gives a funny little weather report. A weather report. When you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say it's going to rain. And so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be scorching heat. And it happens. You hypocrites. Or as another version says, you frauds. That is harsh. That's just harsh. It is a direct challenge leveled at those around Jesus. And it's leveled at us. Hey, Jesus, what did I do? Maybe nothing. And maybe that's the point. Maybe nothing is the point. All this comes in the context of answering the question, what does it mean to follow Jesus? The first half of our liturgical year, we spend answering the question, who is Jesus? And we have Christmas, and we have Good Friday, and we have Easter. And we answer the question, who is Jesus? And now in Pentecost, in the learning and in the growing season, we ask the question, what does it mean to follow? What does it mean to follow Jesus? And Jesus is teaching us painstakingly and sometimes painfully. Today's reading is bookended, either side, by two verses not included in the reading. But I think they make a difference to how we hear this today. And you know, actually, in the original, there wouldn't have been those little subtitles. There wouldn't have been those paragraphs. So I'd like to read this again. I'd like us to listen to a little different version. I'm going to add the verse before and the verse at the end. This is Luke 12, 48 through 57, from the translation, The Message. Great gifts mean great responsibilities. Greater gifts, greater responsibilities. I have come to start fire on this earth, and how I wish it were blazing right now. I've come to change everything, turn everything right side up. How I long for it to be finished. Do you think I came to smooth things over and make everything nice? No, not so. I've come to disrupt and confront. From now on, when you find five in a house, it will be three against two and two against three. Father against son and son against father. Mother against daughter and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against bride, and bride against mother-in-law. Then he turned to the crowd and said, when you see clouds coming in from the west, you say, storm's coming, and you're right. And when the wind comes out of the south, you say, this will be a hot one, and you're right. You know how to tell a change in the weather. Why don't you tell me? So don't tell me. You can't tell a change in the season, the God season we are in right now. You don't have to be a genius to understand these things. Great gifts mean great responsibilities. Greater gifts, greater responsibilities. We've been given some gifts. You don't have to be a genius to understand these things, but you do have to decide. You do have to decide. Maybe this text is less about division and more about decision. More about decision. Jesus is calling us, challenging us to decide. Or, as it says in the New American Translation, to judge on our own initiative what is right. To work it out. To love God with all our heart and all our strength and all our mind. To grow up. To know better. And to do better. To do better. And I don't know about you, but for me, that's still not always easy. Not always easy. One of the very first things Pastor David said to me when I came here as an intern was, we are unapologetically Christian. We are unapologetically Christian. And there is room for everyone in this place. And that's when I fell in love with you. That's when I fell in love with all of you. Here. Right then. Because I knew this would be a good place to grow and to live into what I want to be, unapologetically a follower of Christ with room for all. At the ELCA assembly, retiring secretary Reverend Chris Berger said, "We are the clay jars that God has chosen to use to proclaim the gospel in this time and in our individual contexts. We are church. Thank God." When the sanctuary vote was taken, ELCA Vice President Bill Horn said, "I can be of one mind with you and still disagree with you on an issue. It won't ever overshadow the oneness we share in Christ Jesus. The oneness we share through our baptism, through the cross, in Christ Jesus. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, 3.4 million and more, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith." Amen.